Blog Talk Radio.
Taking from the world.
Shalom, Ms. Bakar. Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to Kol Elohim. I'm your brother, Ariel, here with the fourth installment of Iblis Culture, bringing you the art of war, the art of war. Before I get into just talking and getting into the word and into the night's lesson, I want to open up with a prayer. Hallelujah! Yah, once again, for opening up the Shabbat door for all, Father. We thank you for that, Abba Yah. We thank you for the opportunity to come and take thy rest, Father. Come and take the yoke off of this world, Father. Thank you for that, Abba. We thank you for your son being obedient to thy word, to every jot, every tittle, he dotted every I, crossed every T. We thank him for that. He was blameless. He was sinless. Thank you, Yahushua, for your obedience. Thank you for your steadfastness. We thank you for your mercy and your grace that you bestowed upon each and every human being in the world. We thank you for that, that you laid down your life and allowed us to come into the door. Not just the door of the weekly Shabbat, but the door of the eternal Shabbat. We thank you for that, Yahushua. We thank you, Abba Yah, for seeing a way that we can make it through. Father Yah, ask and pray for all those that are ailing in the house of that Yahweh, all those in Israel, Father, that you touched them, that you healed them, Father. We thank you for our Ema, Father, that you brought her through, Father. We thank you that you put on them doctors your wisdom, Father, because it was you who did the service, Father. They were just your puppets, as we all are, Father, when we do thy will, Father. So we thank you for that, Abba Yah. We thank you for the elders, Abba Yah. We thank you for the Marines. We thank you for the Akotis, the Ox, the Yaladim, Father. Ask and pray that you lift them all up, Father, that you continue to keep them hedged up in your word, Father. Keep that adversary at bay, Father. And even when he come near, Father, that you give them the power. Allow them to understand that they have the power to overcome that old adversary. Your son, Yahushua, Father. In your son, holy and precious name, Father, I pray and ask all these things. Amen. Shabbat Shalom once again, Yisra'el. Shabbat Shalom. If I'm sounding well, somebody send me a text through, if possible. Oh, let me open up with the benedictions. I'm getting my glasses here. Blessed are you, Yahushua, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and took pleasure and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies that Shabbat. Hallelujah. Toda Aki, Toda, for that. Toda again, Aki, Toda, 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 Toda. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And tonight, family, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to do something a little different. Normally, for the first three, we had read the book last. We went through scripture and read the book last. Today, we will read the book first. After the opening scripture, we will read the book first. And we get into some scriptures afterwards. Even if we get into some scriptures, I'm still waiting on Abba which way he wants to leave that, which way we gonna go, you know. And one of the thoughts, how this one came to be in my mind, you know, I always knew all week that we were going through the book. But how this one came to be is listening to one of the listen to Mahalia Jackson. I was listening to some Mahalia Jackson this week, and one of the songs that she sung Amazing Grace. And I couldn't stand that song, you know. Especially after I watched Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome and how a sister, Dr. Joy DeGruy, how she brought it out, which the writer who wrote that was a slaveholder, you know, and how she brought it to the mind of the people, of the viewers, is he found amazing grace after he had his slaves and what he realized he did wrong. That he found amazing grace. It was almost like, yeah, right now you all of a sudden you straighten up and you fly right. You got amazing grace. But when I listened to the song, I really got a chance to listen to the song without a biasness to it, right? And then sometimes it's always Abba Yah, not sometimes, it's always him leading you and guiding you, even in everyday life. If we just pay attention to everyday life, he's always leading and guiding. Leading and guiding in everyday life, every situation. If we believe he's in our life, every situation he's a part of, whether for our good or whether for our bad or whether for our learning, for the most part, for us to learn something out of it, for us to get a lesson. And as I was listening to the song and going back and forth and listening to it several times, and thoughts were coming to my mind was, who deserves grace more than Israel? When you go and listen to the song, and who deserves grace more than them, right? And as me and the brother Ahab was talking for the last couple of weeks, and we've been getting in some real good conversations about Israel, you know, and about what they saw and what was given to them, and just the depth of what Abba have shown Israel, you know, and he have truly shown Israel gems. He have given Israel himself, you know, to make a long story short. He gave them him, right? And how year, century after century and time after time, we disappointed them. We disappointed them. Yes, their faithful fear, always a remnant. But who deserves Yahweh's grace more than Israel? And when that question came to my mind, it's like, wow, nobody. Because as he said, you have I only known. You have I gave my ways to. You have I talked to. You have you heard the voice of Yahweh in the mountain. Time after time, you went astray. Year after year, you went astray. I had got a new profound likeness for the song. I endeared it that much more. Even when it says, I was lost, but now I'm not found. Right? It's no different than what God even sent his son to Israel. He said it out of his mouth. I come not but for the lost sheep of Israel. Stood then said, and watched him, and he wept. How I wanted to gather you like a mother hen gathers her children. Daily I sent my prophets unto you. Daily, Israel. And time after time after time, year after year, we disappointed him. And still, grace was shown. Grace was shown. And that goes all the way back to Abraham. If Abraham said he said Abraham was my friend. He was my friend. So in the midst of that, riding home and listening and meditating and hearing Abba and we conversing, that's what he was showing me. No, nobody in the world deserved grace more than y'all, Israel. Y'all was the most hard-headed, stiff-necked people on the face of the planet. You who teaches the nations how to sin. We do that as Israel. But even still, we will not deny that, and we cannot deny that there is a remnant of Israel. There is a remnant, and Yes, the Gentiles are welcome in. Again, we don't teach that here, that the Gentiles are not welcome in. If you are a human being, regardless of what hue you have, if you are a human being born of Adam, Yahushua died for you. If you're born of Adam, Yahushua died for you. No matter. Yes, he has narrowed it down and given his ways to a people. And yes, they went astray. And yes, they was hard-headed and stiff-necked. But also, he had those who would stand on his word. Generation after generation, generation after generation, they did not move off his word. If not, we wouldn't be here today. If not, we wouldn't know the word of Yahweh. The word of Yahweh would not be here. Yeah, the blind, some of them, like he said in the book of Romans, chapter 11. He had to cut some of them off the good olive tree so he can graft in some of the wild olive tree, the Gentile world, into Israel. And if you're new to this channel, we have in the archives of teaching the brother just did, Brother Yaakov, about Christianity, and I believe he goes through that. He goes through that. And there's a multitude of teachings about the same thing, about the same thing. And that's what me and the brother was discovering in our weekly talks, in our daily talks, that the word of Yahweh is like a salad. It's just chopped up and given to you in so many different ways, but it's still the lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and pickles. I mean, onions, cucumbers. Sometimes something else is added, right? But it's still the same salad. You know, he just chopped it up and give it to us in different ways. But it's repetition after repetition how we learn, how we come to understand his word. And through our life experiences, let me stop talking. We're going to get there. And it's not going to be a long one today, family, but I'm going to go to the opening scripture. As always, which has been our mantra, in Shemot, Exodus 15, 2 and 3. Yah is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is my El, and I will praise him. My Father's mighty one, and I will exalt him. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. And that part right there is so important. Yahweh is a man of war. And that's what we've been talking about for these last 4 weeks, that the war, the art of war, being very skillful in war making, right? Frankly, we all learning something about this war that we are in, that we are part of. And there's only two sides, family. There's only two sides. Either you're on the Most High side or you're on the adversary side, her left. There's only two sides. You know, the Yahweh side has a name. That is Israel. You can't deny that. That name of Yahweh, his side is Israel. Hillel's side is the adversary. Period. The devil. He has a multitude of names for his side. But Yahweh's side has one name. Israel. Right? But the Yahushua, he said it like this. When he come back, he going to send the reapers, which is the angels, and they should gather the sheep and goats. Still two sides. Sheep, Israel, goat, the devil, and everything that falls under his side, and all the other things under him. But the sheep, Israel, same old thing. Same story again. Remember? But Yahweh is a man of war. And I want to read something else in your hearing, as my brother Shaba would say. And this is the words of the rabbi. Very, 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 very important words. Very timely. And another tool for our war, right? That we can use. That we can come to understand what we're in. what we're up against. This world system has always been, belonged to that old Satan since the fall of Adam and Kawan. How Satan hasn't infiltrated the Most High Kingdom, that's very important. How Satan hasn't infiltrated the Most High Kingdom. Yisrael was created to infiltrate Hasatan's kingdom, to dispel the darkness by manifesting the light of Yahushua, to whom all power now belongs. Hallelujah. Some things are still coming by revelation. As me and the brother talked a little bit earlier, and we were talking about it, Yahweh is still giving revelation. That is revelation. That is something that Abba Yah has whispered into his ears to say, here, give this to the people. For years, we didn't think that we didn't come to that understanding that, hey, this is, although we know that the scripture says that Hashatan is the prince of the world, Yahushua said he's the prince of the world, Brother Shaul said he's the God of the world, but we didn't come to understand that we are infiltrating his kingdom, not the other way around, that he is infiltrating the kingdom of Yah. No, it never dawned on us until Yahweh gave the brother revelation, until the Ruach came upon him and gave him some insight to what's going on, what's happening. Goodness, I'm for us. You get a little sip of that. Till he gave him that revelation. But it happens so much that we take these things for granted when we get these words, that we don't take them to heart, and they don't become a part of our meditation. So we, again, as we talked about a few lessons back, we fall right back into the same thing over and over, because we're not meditating on these things throughout the week. And if we are, hallelujah, hallelujah, stay on that grind, as the world would say, but we're grinding for Abba Yah. Stay in that word. Stay close to his bosom. Israel, you have a job. You have a job to do. Me and the brother was talking. We talked about old Gershon McDaniel earlier. And what did the prophet say about this assembly that we belong to? What did he say? What was the revelation given to him about this assembly we belong to? He said that we will spearhead something. What that is, I guarantee you, y'all can't hell know. I guarantee you that. But he said through his prophet, Rabbi Gershon McDaniel, that this assembly here will spearhead something. And again, don't get worried about, what is it? What's this, that, and the other? Don't worry about that. Allow Yahweh to move when he say he's going to move. When he say it's time to be the spearhead for this and what I have called this congregation to do, then do it. Be ready to do it. My word will not fall to the ground, but it will accomplish what I sent it out to do. If we believe what the prophet said, believe it. Just to be talking, try to hold conversation with you just so he can have a conversation? No. Always a directive when he talks. It was an end to it. It was something that he wanted you to see, because he was moving by the Spirit of Yahweh, the Son Yahushua. Always. But do we believe that, what he said, about this little assembly? Let's move on, family. And we are moving on to the book The Art of War. If you have it, you can pick it up and we'll read it together. If not, I will read it for you. Excuse me. Again, keep in your mind what we just read by the rabbi, what we just read by that revelation. Israel is infiltrating Halal's kingdom. We're infiltrating his. Remember, if we go back and we understand why Babylon was, why Nimrod, which we know is a known adversary to the Father, why he was able to set his kingdom up first, and what did that point to? We understand that point to Halal's kingdom. He was able to set up his kingdom first. And again, it is the art of war. It is a strategy. These are war games, not in the sense of a game. These are war tactics. Let me not even use that word game because it's not a game. These are war tactics that we are part of if we want to be or not. So this week we'll be reading in the 13th book. And the name of the 13th book is Spies and Traitors. Spies and Traitors. Let that right there marinate. And what we just read, what the rabbi was given revelation to a couple of weeks ago. Spies and Traitors. And Israel is what? Israel was formed to be, to infiltrate Halal's kingdom, the adversary kingdom. We are being formed behind enemy lines. I remember Rabbi doing a teaching about that years ago, Rabbi Gershom Dang. I think I got that wrong or something. I just got to go through them old tapes. I believe I remember that he did it behind enemy lines. Enemy lines. It is almost 18, 19 years later, we're doing somewhat similar to what he talked about. But we're in the book Spies, and again, keep in mind what the rabbi said, Yaakov, what was the revelation that was given to him, and listen, Shema, as we read these words. Today, I'm going to try not to stop and do too much explaining. I just want to read, and as believers, allow that ruach to run. Allow that ruach to take you on journeys as you listen. It can do that if we allow it. If we're given the word of Yahweh God's attention and we're not doing several other things, we're not being distracted. It is important for the leader to have information coming from all corners of the realm. I'm going to try not to stop, family. But some of this stuff in the rock is moving on you. You hear the spirit. You hear Yahweh's tactics. You hear Halal's tactics. Just right to keep that right there. Hear Yahweh's tactics and hear the adversary tactics, right? It is important for the leader to have information coming from all corners of the realm. Some information he receives will be good and useful. Other information will lie in the realm of deception / non-deception. When the ruler is preparing for war, of running the state can become excessive. It is essential that information be useful and not costly due to the implementation of mistakes. If a leader fights battles that last for extended period of time and does not use the resources available to him for victory, then he is wasting those resources by using them and does not have the goals of the ruler in his heart. He expends effort and energy needlessly by not seeking assistance, which can make him more effective and his victory quicker. Stalemates in battle are caused by a lack of information. The wise leader knows that to beat the enemy, he must have information that he can use to win. I got to read that again. Again, just hear the tactics of Yahweh and hear the tactics of Hillel at the same time. The wise leader knows that to beat the enemy, he must have information that he can use to win. He must be able to also be aware of receiving too much information. And what is that right there? The brother a couple months back had a teaching, you can't eat from everybody's table. Right? I just pray y'all hear. Can't eat from everybody's table. He had that lesson. Right? And at the same time he had his lesson, we had another congregation, another assembly here in Baltimore who had the same exact lesson. You cannot be eating from everybody's table. And that's one of the things that Israel is doing. They're coming into this way of life, and they're eating at everybody's table, just gulping up everything, overloaded with information. Stalemates in battle are caused by a lack of information and supplies. The wise leader knows that to beat the enemy, he must have information that he can use to win. He must also be aware of receiving too much information. This is as bad as not receiving enough information and can confuse matters, making it difficult to initiate correct action from wise decisions. Just listen, family. Just listen. It excites me, right? I'm sorry, my spirit get excited when I hear how Abba works. It transcends off these pages into everything. An effective leader is discerning. He realizes he cannot get special information by petitioning the gods, nor can it be gotten by ordering soothsayers and priests. This information can only be gotten from men who will do what is necessary for their own cause. They are called spies and traitors. There are many types of spies, and their differences must be known. Proper usage of their skills is also advantageous. If they are available and the intelligent leader knows who they are and does not use them, then perhaps someone with a more astute vision of the world will. There are five different types of spies. Now listen to the five different types, family. They are called foreign, eternal, counter, exotransient, and vital, all to be thought of as secret agents and are as deadly as vipers. This must be realized. Agents are invaluable and must be treated accordingly. When they provide information that can foster victory, they must never be taken for granted, and their identity must never be revealed. If they are found out, they are certain to be put to death by the enemy. This reason alone suggests that the potential value of their information, their worth can never be estimated. A foreign agent is a spy who comes to the warlord, and he's about to go through the definition, five agents that he calls. A foreign agent is a spy who comes to the leader from the enemy's country. He is a citizen and is usually displeased with conditions. He may not have connections into the government, but he can relate the true feelings of the people of his native land. Just listen, family. Just listen. Listen and look at yourself. Look, I'm going to try to just read, man. I'm sorry. I'm going to move as Yahweh say move. Eternal agents are those who are working for the government of the enemy and are displeased with national conditions and their own lot in life. They will sell information to the highest bidder. They have no loyalty to anyone, and though their information may appear to be valuable, it must be thoroughly checked. Living life through a faucet, they are self-serving and have no value other than their own. They do not care who is victorious. Counter agents are internal spies who have been found out, and rather than being put to death, they act with treason to save their lives. The wise leader tempers them with lavish gifts, turning them on guard. Let's just take them. I take that right there. Right? Take somebody who. I remember a story here in our congregation. Remember Rabbi telling the story that there was some brothers and a wife and a husband who believed in Yahushua. Now goes to and I don't know if it's Orthodox or conservative, but now they don't believe. So what kind of agents are they? They would be considered a counter agent. But you was on Yahushua's side. You believed in him. Now, whatever happened in your life, the agent to Yahushua. And I pray that we're hearing this part for our own lives. The wise leader tempers them with lavish gifts, turning them to his own cause. They must be handled gently and given the latitude they need to operate. Care must be taken to determine that they are not planted double agents. This can be learned by observing their activities and conduct. It should be realized that they must be aspects of the enemy's deception, no deception, attitudes. Extraneous agents are those in the leader's employ who are untrustworthy. They are constantly given erroneous information, knowing that they are working as double spies for the enemy in like manner to a counter agent. Dispose of them when they have served their purpose to prevent them from turning on you. Vital secret agents are natural citizens of the leader's realm who devote their lives to the propagation of the ruler's desires. They enter into foreign countries and return with information. Their mentality does not permit them to turn into exotransient agents. They are true to the cause. Their main concern being the rulers and the people. They are usually very intelligent and deceive the enemies because of their outward appearance. Did not Yahushua do that to him? Hello? He didn't know who Yahushua was. No. When Yahushua came, why did he speak in dark things, dark secrets? He didn't speak openly in the sense of being. He spoke in codes to those learned ones, those taught ones that he called out throughout the word. I have did the word like that. Wow. Israel called to infiltrate Halal's kingdom. We are in his kingdom right now. Infiltrate his kingdom. Huh? We was born in darkness, shaped in iniquity, the scripture says. We was born here, but we made a choice. All information is gotten from other people. So whatever their motivation, they are spies. All governments and all businesses infested with spies of every type. Let me read that again. All governments and all are infested with spies of every type. Sometimes the spies themselves do not know that they are spies. Remember that for me, please. Hopefully I get to bring up. Sometimes they don't even know that they are spies. We don't know that we are spies sometimes. We are human beings. We're going to read the scripture to prove that. The judicious leader is careful in selecting the men with whom he surrounds himself. In matters of working with agents of any type, it is essential that the leader be just and compassionate in these matters. He must also be subtle to the information in the spirit and in the intended to be used. All agents, regardless of their position and rank, should be disposed of immediately if they cause the slightest concern regarding their truth and devotion. When the leader is preparing to enter into battle with an enemy, he must know the names of the enemy commander, the size of the enemy's army, and the position they are to be. Without this information, he is as a blind and deaf person entering into perilous journey. Secret agents will get this information for him. Understanding the mentality of agents is important. When recruiting them, information gleaned from native and internal spies gives the leader the power needed to employ deception, techniques and methods. Everyone has their place and everyone has their value. This precaution permits the intelligence of use of agents. Most of the information is gotten from the double agents. Counter agents will provide you with additional spies when they are needed, native and eternal. The vital agent in value is too nearsighted. Agents are utmost important to the successful operation of the leader. Only those leaders who are intelligent and enlightened can use them properly. Without secret operations, a war meaningless act of gratuitous violence that does not destroy all people and all the resources. Study these lessons well. To master them means you understand the true art of war. And this was the last book. I guess that was his last thing. But what's that? And one thing that he said that some are spies and don't even know that they are spies. And I'm going to read two more scriptures, family, and that'll be it. Two more scriptures. And we're going to go to Bereshit 2:7. Yahweh formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What is inside of each and every mankind? The breath of life. Each and every man. Proverbs 20:27. Spirit of man is Yahweh's lamp, searching all his innermost thoughts. Is that not something that's telling on you and you don't even know that it's telling on you? Is that not saying that you are a spy and you don't even know that you're a spy? Because he said in Bereshit itself that each and every man have the spirit of life in him. He breathed the spirit of life in Adam. Everybody who is alive have the spirit of life in them. That man has is my lamp. Searches everything inside of a man already. That's how Yahushua knew that what Judah was going to do. Well, Judas, for those who don't know who Judas is, what I'm talking about. But Judah, he knew it. When he said that, he knew that there was a traitor among him. The word just said, the book just said, that there are spies and traitors in every aspect of life. Every aspect of life. Every aspect of life. And I had a whole bunch of scriptures that I wanted to go to. You know, I wanted to go and show how Yahweh knew us from the beginning, like he told us in Jeremiah, that I knew you before you was in your mother's womb. And we were going to go through just the book of Acts and talk about how Stephen went from the beginning and brought all the way back, brought all that back to mind to Israel, right? And there's a multitude of scriptures in there that shows us that some of us were preordained and predestined to come and do this work for Yahweh. He said, you haven't chosen me, but I have chosen you. But he said this, tell your story. Ask the people, what's their story? What's your story? Because if we start from the beginning, go back from the beginning, what he said, that what Israel truly is, why Israel was formed, to infiltrate Halal's kingdom, right? Satan's kingdom. That's why we're formed. Forgive me, family, as I go and try to comb this mind of minds and pull things out that's down there if I go back, if I forget something. But each and every person in the listening of my voice and will listen and hopefully that Abba has called them out, has a story, has a journey within this word, was at one time working for the enemy, and even times being a double agent, a spy for the enemy. We go astray. When we go contrary to his word, we become spies for the enemy. Double agents. Everything we just read comes down to our own personal lives. What are we committing ourselves to do? We put our hand to. That's why he says that Yahushua, hey, come and count the cost before you come and say, yes, I will. I accept your ways of life. Count the cost. Because this thing is for life. This thing ain't no, you jump on and you jump off. There is no dishonorable charge. Yahweh's honor. This dishonorable charge. Hey, you know what? I'm done. I'm dishonorable charge. That's it for me. I'm going to be a regular citizen. No, it don't work like that. It don't work like that. Only time you get discharged from this honor is when you close your eyes. Yahweh call you home. That's the only time you get discharged from this army. That's it. That is it. There's no other way that you can get discharged unless you defect. And if you defect and go to the other side, Yahweh have mercy upon you. And Yahweh have mercy upon you. That's all I can say for you is Yahweh have mercy upon you. But again, what is your story? Where did Abba get you? Where he brought you from? If we go back from the beginning of our lives, and from my life, it began in 1970, July 13, 1970 to be exact, born to one Paul Clifton Peter, also Mary Magdalene Kelly. And even within that, I can learn some things about myself and the walk that Abba has called me already. Called. Matter of fact, my name wasn't even Sean Kelly when it was first born, when I was first born. My first 5 years of my life, my name was Sean Maurice Peeker. That was my name. I had my father's name, Sean Maurice Peeker, in the beginning. But by the time I hit five, got into kindergarten, I remember that by the time I hit first grade, I remember that they wasn't calling me Sean Peeker no more. They were calling me Sean Kelly. I don't know, something happened between Mary Kelly and Paul Peeker. I don't know what happened. But Mary Kelly decided, you got one of my son's names, you won't get this one. So I'm changing his name. And my name since then was changed from Sean Maurice Peeker to Sean Kelly. In fact, it was changed, and I don't even have a middle name. They never put the middle name on the birth certificate. They didn't put it on there. They never did. They never put my middle name on there. So today, I have no middle name. All my name is Sean Kelly. My son, to be Sean Kelly II, he couldn't have a middle name, so he's just Sean Kelly. That's the lot that Mark Kelly changed in my life. You know, at the age, before I went to junior high school, I went to five different elementary schools. Mary Kelly was a moving woman. We moved a whole lot. I mean, I went to five different elementary schools. Five. Because we moved a lot. Mary Kelly was a gypsy. I mean, I started off in George Street Elementary over there in West Baltimore. I started off there. After I left there, from kindergarten to first grade, to Harlem Park, still in West Baltimore. After Harlem Park, we had to move again. Moved on the east side for a few minutes. Went to Margaret Brent Elementary. And it's funny because everybody might be like, hey, I went to that school too, Margaret Brent Elementary. A lot of the brothers and sisters that's here on the east side. I went to Margaret Brent Elementary for about 2 years. After we left Margaret Brent, I went to Solo Goods down in South Baltimore. And then we ended up moving back on the west side where Mary Kelly was most comfortable at, where we grew up at. And I went and graduated fifth grade, Holland Park, went back to Holland Park. Holland Park Junior High, went through that. After Holland Park Junior High, and matter of fact, let me go back to the beginning. I did warn y'all that Mary Kelly, don't remember her being a spiritual woman at all. Don't remember her taking us to church or nothing. But one thing she did do is made us get on our knees and pray. For the first five that I can remember, probably like 8, 9, 10 years old, we would get on our knees before we went to bed. Repetitiously. Now and again, Mary Kelly wasn't a spiritual woman. She wasn't a woman that I remember her talking about God all the time or reading scripture. We ain't had no Bible. I don't even remember Bible in the house. I don't remember that. But I do know that she made us get on our knees and pray. So that was an introduction to the Most High. We didn't know as kids. We didn't know because there was nothing built on top of that. And Elmah. But Abba Yah knew. But yeah, I mean, remember what we are. We're Israel. We are formed so we can infiltrate Hallel's kingdom. But Abba Yah, he takes each and every individual on a journey through life. If you just go back through your own life and look at it, and you will see how his hand was moving upon your life, your whole life. If you're here today saying that I am a believer, I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I take what his son has done for me, the blood, God, your life, all that time. We have been God. But again, back to Mary Kelly, taught us how to pray. I remember that. Teaching us how to pray means my brother Darius, and my older sister Tasha. But again, Mary Kelly, at this time she had at least 6 kids. By the time I was Mary was 30, she had 6 kids. It's not Mary's life, it's my life. So I remember being taught that. I remember going to junior high school. I remember growing up always in the project. I grew up in the project. We was down in Bennett Place. We moved down Bennett Place, right there, Bennett Place in Austria. Right there by, if you know anything about the shooting of Detective Struder, right there. That's where we lived at, right there on that Bennett Place. I believe that's Bennett Place in Schroeder Street, if my memory is correct. We lived right there growing up. Always was a little child that was mischievous, playing just a little child. In the streets, played football, we played basketball, and baseball. We played sports as kids. We was active, as most people growing up in those days in the 70s, kids was active. Punishment to a kid was, you can't go outside. No, give me the beating. You would take a beating before you get punished and say, I can't go outside. In those days, you tell a child he can't go outside in those days, not to be able to go and sit on the steps and play hot butter beans or Skelly and to be able to do all these things as a child, that's fun to us. But to stay in the house and to play a video game, they have turned the whole game around on everybody. Turned it around. I remember around 12 years old, as I'm going through the journey, that I went to a revival. Because, again, Mari ain't take us to church. She never took us to church. But my father's side of the family, which I didn't go around as much, right, because Mari Kelly, again, in the beginning, Mari Kelly and Paul Pika, they had a difference of opinion. Let's put it that way. So we didn't go around them as much. She didn't take us to see our grandmother and that side of the family as much as typical when a woman's gone or whatever happened and they don't want to deal with the father no more or the father don't want to deal with her no more. It happens that way. But my father's side of the family, they was heavy at the church. In fact, the Peakers, out here in Edgewood, they have a whole church named after them. In fact, if you let my uncle, who we believe he's a historian of the Peaker family, we come from royal blood up in Canada. But they came down from Canada all the way to here. The Peakers, running way back, which I never did a study on, because, again, I didn't care because of how I was raised. And how Mari Kelly says, you don't deal with them like that. You don't deal with them. The father won't see you, he'll come see you. But if you listen to my Uncle Charles Peakers, the Peakers are royal. They come from a royal family up in Canada, which I never did study on, another kid. But I do remember going out Edgewood and the church had Peaker on. I do remember the Bibles had Peaker on. Everything had Peaker on, and I was astonished. Hey, I ain't never been to a church in the Bendel Street, but this church had your name on it, had your family name on it. The Bible had your family name on it. Still, no interest, right? Still didn't take interest in the Most High at that time. It was just another seed planted again. But living on Emerson Avenue, this time we living on Emerson, 1500 block, 1537 Emerson Avenue. It's amazing how I can remember all our addresses. And we lived 1537 Emerson Avenue, right across the street from Harlem Park Square and the middle school. And that church, they had a revival out there. And remember, 12 years old, you know, they had a movie plan, and we go out there, they were giving out popcorn, and, you know, little kids in the neighborhood, they somebody giving popcorn, we there. So we sat there, and I'm listening. I don't know what the world of preacher is saying, but he's saying something. And at the end of it, he gives a little pamphlet out. Remember, give a little pamphlet out. And the pamphlet said, come into my heart, come into my heart, Yahushua. But y'all know what he really said, right? Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Yahushua. And you know I said that, don't know why, I said that every night before I went to bed. Mind you, Martin already told us to pray, but when I got this little thing, I held on to it. I don't know why I held on to it. And again, we all have this journey, how Abba Yah has pulled you out and turned you to one of his spies, right? That's what we talk about, traitors and spies. So I don't know why, but I love that little saying, and I memorized it. I didn't even need the book no more. But every night before I went to sleep, that was my mantra. Don't know why, but I knew something in my heart. I liked it, and I memorized it. Still not understanding that just Abba Yah pulling. He's pulling. Hey, he couldn't just come and like, all right, let me get you up out of there, and let me set you in this. No, he didn't do it like that. He took me on a life journey, as he done each and every one of us. Remember Highland Park, some boys from Highland Park, we got there playing ball. Some boys was coming up there. They was trying to talk to a young lady. I didn't know. It didn't kid me. I wasn't my girlfriend or nothing like that. And I guess they wanted to show off. So remember them pulling a gun in my face. I remember that. And they clicking the gun. And the gun didn't go off. I remember a black gun. And they ran. They ran back down Highland Park. Hallelujah. They ran. But to this day, I know what that little boy looked like. Put that gun in my face, about 14, 15 years old, and clicked it. Trying to show off for a young lady. I understand today that that was Yahweh again saving me over and over again, but not understanding what it was about in the street. Thought that was cool. All right, we're going to go get them. No, we never went and got them. We just let it go, but we still. So still got a job, and I'm getting a job when I'm 17 years old, my very first job, University of Maryland. I believe it was about 17. Worked down there for 16 years. And there, worked from this job. I'm at now for 20 years. And so I've been working for 36 years straight, never with a break. I guess that's why I'm tired now. I'm wanting to just retire. I wish I could retire. I pray every day. Oh, y'all help me retire. I want to retire. I'm tired of working straight. But that's another way. That's another way. So me and my best friend Tommy, we end up getting an apartment, and in the apartment, that's when Sounds of Blackness came out. You remember Sounds of Blackness? They had a song, Keep Your Head to the Sky. It was called Optimistic, but it always said keep your head to the sky. But every morning, getting up for work, because I had to be to work at 6 o'clock, every morning that was my song, my mantra. I would play it. And you had a little cassette, right? You put it in, it was only one little song on there, and you could flip over and play the B side. Kids don't know nothing about the A and B side of the tape, right? But you flip it over, but I would hear that every day. Keep your head to the sky. Keep your head to the sky. Not understanding that this is Yahweh whispering to me. He's whispering. I got you. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. And again, each and every person have their own journey. We all have our own journey. And it's time that we need to go back and look at that journey. And if we understand and can be honest with ourselves, who deserves to say amazing grace or need more grace than me? Right? Than me. A wretch man that I am. And I'll skip the whole lot because we ain't got to get with the details of the selling of the drugs, the carrying of guns, and did all these things. Getting put out of school for selling drugs. Disappointing Mary Kelly. In her mind, she had high hopes for me going through and doing this, that, and the other. No, but because of excuses that I made, I went the route of selling drugs. I went that route, excuses. But just like Brother Shaul in the book of Acts, I believe it's now Acts 17, and he walked past something to the unknown God. At a moment, each of us have that moment. Each of us have a moment where Abba whispers and says, what you're asking for, I can give you. What you want, I can give you. But I passed my car. I passed what he brought me this way with. Because again, I was 17 years old, getting into Malcolm X, getting into the blackness of who I am and about black people being proud. Again, I skip to something again because we grew up in that type of house. We grew up in the blackest proud house, the velvet pictures, the big owl. Remember the big statue owl? Why black people always had the big statue owl? Any house you went in, the big statue owl and the beads. Especially here in Baltimore, we had that. The velvet pictures. I know I'm taking a lot of y'all back. We had the velvet pictures, big afros, the red, black, and green prick with the fist on the end, all that. At one time, Mari thought she was a Black Panther. So we went through that phase in our life that our mother thought she was a Black Panther. So we learned about being proud about black people. So that was installed in me also as a young kid, being proud as a black person. Remember James Brown said loud, I'm black and proud. And I don't know how many people remember that live here in Baltimore. We had something that called Operation Chance. And this was a group of guys, I don't know who they were when I was a kid. They would come around with a big box truck, and they would pull out these bikes, and they would just come to the black community, and they will give us something to do, right? It was like they had a carnival in the back of a truck, and it was called Operation Chance. Every summer, they would go around the black community free of charge and pull out this carnival out of the back of the truck. We would be on there riding bikes and all that and telling us about who we are. So about 17 years old, I remember getting into the blackness of who we are. And I remember, and I'm at one, you know, if I'm in it, I'm a part of it. When my shirt, Malcolm, Martin, Mandela, and me, it's a black thing, you wouldn't understand it. I wore that proud around University Hospital. You couldn't tell me nothing. I had them in color. I wore it proud around University Hospital. Again, not knowing and understanding. All right, well, that's the card that I'm going to get with you. That's the way you're going to come, is that way. You want to know about your people. And I remember distinctly asking this question, why do everybody hate black people, Paul? And that was my aha moment. That was the moment that, well, I can tell you, wow, this is the route that I'm going to bring. He may not bring everybody this route, but this is my journey. And Abba Yah has each and every person on different journeys. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that Brother Mariel, he told me how his journey, to tell me about his journey, and it brought him to tears where Abba had brought him from, that Abba could use this kingpin in Baltimore, Maryland, from selling poison to his people to now selling life to his people. And yes, for those who don't know, the brother was a kingpin. I didn't even know until we sat down and talked, and I got close to him. Kingpin. What we will consider today, or back in the day, a kingpin. That was him. But remember, he said that it brought him to tears where Abba had brought him from. Where he brought him from. And Abba has done that a multitude of times, has gone across a vast ocean and their experiences so we can come. And that was for me. And my thing was, why do people hate like this? So he started a journey with me. All right, and I'm going to bring you all the way up to, y'all know y'all are the original people. Y'all are the original people. and y'all was my chosen people. But he don't stop there. Now, once you get that truth and get that understanding, you keep on going, because when you keep on going, you realize it ain't about being black. It ain't about being the chosen people. It's about the blood of Yahushua HaMashiach. That was the main thing, but that was the route that he took me, that he had to take me on my journey. Again, each and every person has a different journey. Each and every person has a different journey. How Abba catches you. I got you now. What you going to do? I got you. You're mine. Either you're going to be with me or you're not. You're here. Remember, if you don't mind, Brother Daniel, when he first came to the congregation, Brother Daniel's thought was, I'm coming in to just please Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel. I can't wait to get there. You know, Brother Dayal, right, my brother. His thought was coming there to disprove the rabbi. But he had questions lined up in his mind, and that was the route that Abiyah had got. That was his cast. Lined up in his mind. Because, again, the brother Ryan told him, got there before he opened his mouth, the rabbi asked him questions. Did the rabbi answer his questions? But did Abba already knew why he was there and what motive he was there with? Yahweh knew why he was there. Yahweh the one got him there. How long it took, he got him there. And what route that he had to take, he got him there. All his defenses. With ease. With ease. But it ain't with harshness. It's with ease. But when you left out there, you left out telling him love. And that's the opposite moment. Somebody tell you that, how you get tore down, and you walk out feeling like you've been loved. But that's what Abba Yah have done for all of us. All the state that we was in, allowed us to come to him in that state, and that messed up mind. And he was able to turn it all around. And again, he's still working on a lot of us. All of us. He's still turning these things around for us. Because we are his spies. We are his secret agents in this world. We're not like everybody else. We don't live. We don't talk. We don't move like everybody else. And we shouldn't. Right? But we ain't even condemn who does. But frankly, we ain't got to wait that long or go that long to submit to Abba Yah's word and his will. To submit. That's it. To submit to our own commander and our general. That's what we submit to. And come to understand that we are being used in his army. So we talking about the art of war. Talking about war tactics and how great generals go about using these tactics in war. Being able to counteract your enemy's moves. Being able to move 2 steps ahead of your enemy, or to know when he's going to move. Right? We even got the book of Joshua to show us these things. Even the book of Maccabees to show us about these wars. And we just turn them things and see them in the spiritual within ourselves. Within ourselves, no matter what we go through in this world, and if it's like it's tricking you, you're going through hardship with it, it's Abba Yah trying to turn over whatever that is you're trying to hold on to. Whatever it is that we are trying to hold on to. We are. We have far too many examples in the word of Yahweh of men who have totally, and women who have totally submitted to his will. And we have far too many, a whole lot of examples in there that those who have not submitted totally to his will. and we are able to see the outcome of both sides. We're able to see the totally submitted and those who it took a long time to submit, for them to submit, and some who have never totally submitted to the will of Yah. We try to integrate his will with ours. We can't do that. We are part of his army. And that was my call. Also, brother named Kenny was working at University Hospital. I remember he came through and he started talking to us about we are the true people. In my mind, he's using all these big words, and I'm in awe, like, oh, wow, he's really teaching us. And it took him at least 10 years for me to come into the way. But before that, it was at least 10 years that brother was talking to me about the word. And then the funniest thing, I never saw him keep nothing. He would talk about the Sabbath and the laws and the statutes of Yahweh, of the Most High, as he would call it. And he ain't never keep nothing. He never kept the Sabbath. He never kept the holy days. But it wasn't for him. It was for Yahweh, for two sons. Yahweh got two for one out of that deal. He got two for one out of that deal. He got me, and he got brother Mariel. Two for one. He was talking to brother Mariel, too. But eventually, it came to a point, and another brother, matter of fact, brother Harold, he was talking to this brother, too. Well, brother Harold went down to our Angel Cousins down. That's when they was on Park Avenue, the Hebrew Israelites. We call them our Angel Cousins, those that you see out there on the corner. And he sent me to brother Ahava. So he go talk to that brother. Because when I remember brother Harvell first coming, him and brother Steve, they came down that boy looking like straight Jews. He had the tails, the locks on the side of the ear, the big hat. They only dressed in all black and had the white shirts on, and he would crack jokes on them brothers, something terrible. But it never dawned on me that you talk about them, they trying to be those Edomites. Why would they try to be Edomites? And that was the route that Abiyah took them. But it never dawned on me. Send me to him if you're talking about him all the time. It makes sense, right? But you will talk about the brother all the time. Him and brother Steve. Standing on the will of Yahweh, and they came in there. We ain't never seen nothing like that. Especially out here in Baltimore, black people. We ain't seen no black men walking around looking like Jews. We never saw that. We was listening to Kenny and how he was saying that they want to be Edomites, they want to be the white Jews and this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, you send me to talk to the brother. I have a brother to the Hebrew Israelites down on Park Avenue. Never dawned on me. It never dawned on me. My brother, may Abba Yah forgive him for that. Right, brother, this text that used to hurt his feelings. May Abba Yah forgive him for that, right? May Abba forgive his ignorance. But Abba Yah had a bigger plan. I need two more songs to get over there. So, yeah, you talking about it. And look, me never dawning on, well, you're going to send me over there with them brothers, and you talk about them like a dog, saying they trying to be the Edomites, this, that, and the other. But you sent me over there. So who sends me over there? Not that brother. I don't know if in his mind that he was sending me, I'm going to send you over there with the fake ones. I'm going to send brother Harold down there to the Park Avenue Hebrew Israelite brothers, and he's going to go there with the brothers that wear the outfits that be out there on the corner cussing people out. I'm going to send him over there. But Yahweh knew that's not the spirit that I want on you. That's not, I know that one. He ain't got that spirit. So don't send him over there. You send her that way. You send that brother that way. And as I got with this brother, and we talked up in Gaddafi for a good 2 hours. I'm supposed to be working, and I'm up there talking to this brother. And we talked for a good hour, and I'm feeling good. I'm coming to service and going to a basement. Didn't know where I was going. It was Brother Shafu's house, Sister Mel's house. We going to a basement. I dressed up in my Sunday best. I take him to Saturday. You know, I usually go out on Saturdays. You know, I'm around gym playing basketball or something. But you talking about we're going to church on Saturday. Okay. I'm going. Let's go. So I put on my Sunday best. And we pull up to a house in Hamilton. Red flags go up for me. You know, a brother from the hood, I got red flags. And then we go in the side door. We didn't even go in the front door. And we go down some steps. But the word that came out that day, just like Brother Daniel, gotcha. I gotcha. And you know who else did it to? Brother Mario. Because once I got hit, hey, that was my man, me and Keith. Best friend, come on, girl. Let's go. I got something to show you. Come on, go with me. We goes up to, and this when they was up Park Heights, they was at Eliezer house in the Debbie. You know, Brother Mario said, yeah, I'm going to go big, because that's my man. That's my friend. That's my best friend. I'm going to go see. I'm going to go see one time, but I ain't coming back. That's my man. Matter of fact, I brought him and my other best friend, Thomas Young, which I call Tommy. We're both of them. See, one didn't stay. One's still here today. I would know who we choose. He know who he is. The same thing with me and Earl. Earl went that way. I went this way. I would tell him, who is going to stay? Who is going to be a part of mine? Right? That's what happened. Brother came up there, Brother Mariel. That word came out. That little man was talking. Spirit was coming out of him. And you know what one of the, who is Yahushua? I believe that was the first lesson that he taught that day. He taught, who is Yahushua? I believe, if Mario remember, that was the lesson. Who is Yahushua? Because he was doing a series. He did a series. And that lesson is called, who is Yahushua? Mario still had him tape on here somewhere. Who is Yahushua? But that was the first lesson that he heard. He was Yahushua. Hallelujah. 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 And that's how Abba gets us. He brings us on these journeys. And if you ever heard of Brother Harvell tell his journey, or the sisters and brothers that came from New York, that was a journey that came. And their journey was a little bit more strenuous than mine, because they didn't just leave. Abraham did. The brothers and sisters from New York did the exact same thing that Abraham did. He said, leave your father's house. Change it and go to a strange land. I'm going to guide you to. They did that. Left their parents' house from up New York. They went to a strange land. They left their kindred. Let the brother tell you his story. And because of that action, he lost a lot of friends and family. Till this day, my brother would tell you, him and his sister is not close, those who grew up together, because they made that decision to become a spy, a secret agent for Abiyah. But when you listen to their journey, Shafu, Malcolm, a harbor, and whoever else that I don't know, if y'all were giving me the understanding or shoot me a text, let me know if you came down with me too. They say your name too. But they did the exact same route Abraham did, their parents' house. They left their kindred, and they came to a strange land over 20 years ago. Going on 30 years now, probably 30 years left for Abba Yah. Had their ups and downs, had their struggles, had their time of ignorance. I remember me and Mario, when we first came in, we were coming to service, but we would still go play football. we were playing intramural flag football. We would go play flag football every day, every Sabbath. Because we didn't know nothing about the Shabbat. We didn't understand the sanctity of the Shabbat when we first came in. So we're down there playing flag football every Saturday morning. We come back, get dressed, get change our clothes, come to class. We'll be playing football on the Sabbath. We're like, what? Why? And that was the question I remember asking a while back. Well, what is the Sabbath? But you know what? We took hold of it before we knew what it was. And now for many of us who've taken hold of Yahweh's ways before we truly know what it is. That's what happened. We playing football on the Shabbat. Until that sister said, y'all supposed to play football on the Shabbat. Why we can't play football and come to church afterwards? Because we still had that Christianity mindset. This is the day you go to church. Afterwards, everything is yours. I was a Muslim. I mean 24 hours. Give me 24 hours. And the only actions are 24 out of 7. Give me 24. Of sanctity, and I guarantee you, it'll be worth your while. I'll give you rest. But that's the end of it, family. It's much more, but I'm going to end it there. This, everybody has their own journey here with Abba. Everybody has their growing, their learning that we have to go through. And you don't have to do it alone. You got struggles. You got pains. You got aches. You got demons attacking you. You don't have to do it alone. You don't. I have set up a system, men, women, here in Beth Yahweh. But that was another thing that Gershon Ben Daniel has set up this congregation about, is how we love one another, how we show love to one another. And that was the thing that Abba Yah has drawn all of us who have been here over 10, 15 years, the love that was shown to one another because of the love of the leader. Still going on today. So whatever we go through, we ain't got to do it alone. We all on this journey. We all on the side of Yahweh, even in our ignorance at times. And our ignorance. Scripture says, Yahweh winked at our ignorance. He winked at me and Brother Mario out there playing flag football and then running up in there serving the Most High. But we didn't know. But once we found out, we had to inquire, what was this Shabbat? What is it? What is this thing that we call Shabbat? Because it's Sunday, it's Sunday. We just show up. Ain't nothing. Ain't no rules or regulations inside of Sunday. But this Shabbat thing, it's a little different. It's much different than the Sundays. It's rules and regulations. And more importantly, it's sanctified. It's blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is the end of this week. Family, prayerfully, we got something out of it. And Abba Yah continue to move upon us and we all open up and be able to tell our stories. Go back in our childhood, go back and really see how we have been shaped and molded from children all the way up to now, and how we can see how the adversary moved in and how Abba Yah has been protecting us ever since we came out of the womb. And he's been guiding and leading even when we did foolish things. Even when. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Abba Yah, once again, coming with us, Abba, for setting a table for his fathers. for preparing a meal for us, Father, for supping with us, Father, for feeding our spirit, Father, for feeding our mind, Father, for continuing to always give a nourish to our spirit. While we are, ask and pray that all Yisrael be kept by your word, Father, all Yisrael be hedged up by your spirit, Father, and we all walk in the name of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach. In Yahushua's name, holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Shalom, Yisrael. Shalom, Abiyah.
Accept me, receive me. believe in me, love me, open your heart to me, I'm all.